It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I don't know. You just said, I'm ready to go, and now I'm nervous.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Zazzano. Okay, so where do I want to go here? Where do I want to go?
You're asking the wrong person.
All right, so a couple things on the radar for me that I think are important for everyone to realize is one, you know, we're in the throes of the holiday season, and obviously Christmas decorating is kind of like top of mind for everybody. Are you there yet?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, we moved and I've been able to pull all this stuff out of storage.
Yeah.
I did not realize I own 6 Christmas trees.
What?
Of various shapes and sizes. And because I have the room this year, every single Christmas tree is going up.
Are you saying that you just stumbled upon additional Christmas trees that you already owned?
I did, and
you had forgotten about?
Well, yeah, because I'm also because
that sounds dangerously close to hoarding.
Yeah, well,
Nancy,
No, 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 because I have all my stuff organized, and it's all. Okay. But these were in storage, and I just had at one point in time said, "Oh, it's too cold to go climbing around in storage and finding the trees. I'll just buy another one." I mean, they're cheap, so
okay.
You know, so yeah, so I am over the top.
I mean, listen, I mean, you can never have enough Christmas.
Right. For, you know, the stuff on the banister and lights and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's going to be a winter wonderland.
For those of you who might not have been listening to the show for very long, just know that, you know, my rules on Christmas are that there are none.
No rules.
You know, my rules on Christmas is just go crazy.
But I'm kind of particular.
You know?
I'm kind of particular.
Yeah, but I also think that there's a layering to it that I think is kind of nostalgic and fun. And that's actually the topic for today's show. We are going to cover some of these Christmas decoratings. I'm not going to call them tips because they're not. They're just more like things that are out there that are floating around there. And I want to comment on them about people's, you know, different perspectives on Christmas and how to decorate and, you know, their do's and don'ts, not mine. You know, I mean, I'll give you, mine is clearly just whatever the heck you want. I do believe that there is something nostalgic to the layering of Christmas decorations, especially when you inherit some.
Yeah.
There's something really nice about those mementos that you see, that you get to unpack every season. Mm-hmm. And with that unpacking and decorating comes the unpacking of memories, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that that's just a really cool thing. And you know how much I love this time of year and the reflective nature of what I think Thanksgiving really means and what I really think the Christmas and the holiday season really means. And so there's a really nice dovetail there. So that's very cool. Have you found any decorations other than trees that you had forgotten about?
Yes, I have. I actually, now that you mentioned it.
You're like, there's that Santa.
Right. Well, I had forgotten that because last year at Christmas, I didn't do a lot of decorating. A lot of different reasons why. Just didn't do a lot of decorating.
Yeah, I think people go through phases with that.
I definitely went through a phase where I was like, eh. So I didn't do a lot of decorating. And I had actually brought home, when I moved everything out of my dad's house after he passed away, mm-hmm. a few ornaments that I had found that I had put in his stuff for his Christmas tree in his new place when I moved him. And I had brought those, and they were my mom and dad's ornaments. Okay. And so I had brought those home. So it's funny that you talk about nostalgia and reminiscing and stuff, because there's 4 or 5 ornaments in that little box that I just set aside, and I didn't use them last year. And then I realized this year that I had them. So I have a tree that has nostalgic kind of ornaments like that, and then stuff that my kids made that I still have.
Okay.
And so that's all on one small tree, just to highlight, you know, those, like the memory tree kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the other trees so far that I've decorated are just like all the fun ornaments and colorful.
How deep are you into this stuff? How deep are you into this decorating exercise?
Oh, I'm only halfway there, man. I got a lot more to go. I have the room and I want to now. Like, I have a Christmas tree in my bedroom. I've never had a Christmas tree in my bedroom. It's in the front window.
I'm not going to call that aggressive. I'm just going to call it slightly surprising.
Where else am I going to put it?
I mean, why not?
Right?
Right?
There's going to be one upstairs in the hallway. Oh yeah.
Well, lots to do and lots to cover, but I'm again so grateful every week that we get to come on, or almost every week we get to come on to these ears and chat. We're going to chat about a couple things. Are you aware of like this current, like the commentary surrounding Restoration Hardware?
No.
About the fact that their stock is tanked all year.
Why?
they've got a lot of problems. I mean, they've got everything from, you know, tariff issues to you know, issues regarding debt and expansion. You know, there's always been a little bit of a quality, I don't know, whisper. You know, and it, right. And that whisper is now turned into something louder than a whisper.
A little bit more shouting.
Yeah, you're getting, I mean, listen, yeah. The reason this is top of mind for me is because we're ongoing on this show is our quality discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Quality experiences, quality furnishings, quality elements within your home, and just surrounding yourself with all things quality, right? So, you know, the popularity of that particular brand and even the trajectory of it. I don't know if you remember how it first started. Do you remember?
No.
How it first started?
I don't.
It started a little bit as sort of like throwback housewares.
Okay.
Like you could find vintage inspired, repackaged, sort of like old ideas repackaged in new manufacturing.
Okay.
For like restoration types of like throwback goods.
Right.
Almost like, you know, they weren't vintage, but they were vintage inspired.
They looked vintage.
They looked vintage, uh-huh. And they would bring back like old games and old tool sets, and they would just bring back sort of these nostalgic kind of throwback, you know, sort of lost in time,
right.
Housewares.
Retro.
And it was really charming, right? And then
right.
It blossomed into sort of like it really went hardcore into like home furnishings. And then obviously from home furnishings, it went into like now they have restaurants and they have a boutique hotel. And, you know, the brand has really just, you know, sort of exploded
right.
In this what I'm going to call post-NAFTA era.
They moved
right?
out of retail and into a lot of other
things.
Well,
and the yeah. fact that they could ship manufacturing overseas.
Yeah.
Okay, which, you know, led to a lot of American manufacturers that used to support them were sort of left in the dust mm-hmm. in favor of manufacturers overseas who could do things what they thought were, you know, similar or better quality for cheaper, right? So their margins increased.
Right.
Well, you know, we've all learned the lessons of that. You know, right now in the era of disposable furniture, you know, they seem to be taking a lot of hits on social media for a couple different reasons. One, the quality of some of their goods is just not, I think, what the big impressive lookbooks
sure.
like make it out to be.
Sure.
And for those of you who don't know, the lookbook is that massive catalog that they send you in the mail that just is like weighs more than your child. and then, you know what
yeah,
I'm
but
saying?
We used
and
to
then
live
God
for
forbid,
those.
God forbid you have two emails. Okay. And then you and your spouse get a lookbook that looks like something like an old telephone book.
Yes,
no, I'm not
remember,
kidding you. Like that's the,
but
that's
remember
how
we used to live for those catalogs at Christmas time. Not from Restoration Hardware.
Yeah, from
but,
Sears maybe, right? But not to date
but
ourselves.
Not today.
But these lookbooks are embarrassing because we don't even really work that way anymore.
Right.
Like in design, we're online. We print tear sheets. Like you know what I mean? Like if we need a printed good, it's a lot more surgical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not thumbing through like these massive catalogs that are, in my estimation, you know, they're beautifully shot.
Well, there's no way to search. You just
well,
have to flip through it, like
it's
you just said.
It's almost like they're trying to do it like it's a magazine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's trying to transcend what it seems to be, and at least this is the commentary on social media, is that it seems to be a glorified vanity project on the part of its CEO. And so therefore you've got all of these measures that are coming across financially where the company is in some distress. It's gonna have to start to, you know, liquidate some of its product in the form of sales, or at least that's the thought. Or file for bankruptcy. So right now, you know, what we're finding is that some of these cathedrals to disposable furniture, which, and listen, when Restoration Hardware first started out, that's not what it was.
Right, right.
It's not what it was, but it became that. It became this sort of like other thing. And I'm not saying that if you go to the Restoration Hardware restaurant, that it's not a great experience. I'm not saying that the furniture doesn't have some style to it. In my opinion, it has become a sea of beige.
Uh-huh.
You know, like leather and gray, right? I mean, the showrooms have a contemporary nature to them that or an innovative nature that I think is fine. But
where
I also
is one even around here?
Here's the thing. It's like it's gotten so spotty that it's, you know, that it's almost sort of like they've tried to make these, I don't know, transitions, you know, from retail to experiential.
They IKEA'd themselves.
Whatever.
Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know. IKEA at least knows what it is.
Right.
I mean,
no,
IKEA was
true.
Selling you meatballs from the beginning.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Restoration Hardware decided it's like, let's have a restaurant, right? Now, like, I'm not saying that there aren't successful brands that do that, but I'm you know, as we sort of move through this RH discussion, I want to put that on people's radar for one very important reason. the quality of what you purchase and the price points for the margins that are being harvested, that's the mismatch that you have to look for. You know, these are not inexpensive goods from Restoration Hardware, right? These are, and right now with the middle high market kind of pulling back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's not, there's a, consumer confidence is starting to plummet a little bit here.
Well, so they're,
That's going to affect them.
So they sort of, I mean, in my words, how I'm interpreting this is they cheapened the product but kept the high price.
Of course, that's what corporations do.
And didn't adjust.
I mean, it's
for
not
that.
What all corporations do, but it's what that corporation does. Yeah. I mean, listen, that's what they do, right? They find a cheaper way to make their product, and rather than lower the cost, they keep the margin.
So they're learning the quantity isn't above quality issue. Quantity is not better.
I think it might even be worse. Ooh. I think it's masking the fact that it's not quality. But it's packaging it so well and so beautifully that people are thinking that these things will last.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I think so. It's borderline deceptive. No, well, I mean, I can't come on the air and say that. But what I can say is, it looks really good. But the evidence is that in a lot of people's opinion, it just doesn't last.
Mm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem, right?
I mean, unless you're putting together a display window that nobody's ever going to use.
Well, but listen, every decorator designer out there has had to face at some point within their career the conversation of, here's the quality good from this particular vendor, and then there's the, oh, by the way, I found this at Restoration Hardware and I like it. And so therefore, you know, you're constantly, at least at some level, and I'm not saying that I don't really face a lot of this, at least at the level of design that we're doing with a lot of the custom elements. Mm-hmm. But there is a middle, and I'm gonna say it. It's almost like it's a luxury market that's sort of reaching to decorate.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who have built, you know, a, let's just call it $1 million+ home, and they're sort of reaching to furnish it. And Restoration Hardware has been one of those plays where, you know, they maybe can get, you know, something that looks highly stylized but just isn't quite the designer quality. And they're taking hits. So,
yeah, well.
So in our conversation of quality, I want everyone to be aware of that dynamic in the marketplace, because, you know, you're going to start to see, especially as we at the Vault sort of move into 2026, you're gonna see us really connect you with quality vendors for people who've been producing furniture for a very long time and put a lot of pride in their work. I want you to be looking for that, because I think the era of big furniture, and I think the era of disposable furniture, with everything that's going on in the world and recent conversations with the economic dynamic with China, I think things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we come back from the break, we're going to change this conversation, and we're going to talk about quality Christmas and what the experts are saying in the marketplace to get you the ultimate holiday look. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome
back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Lauren, it was interesting to hear that, you know, Lauren, who's our director of marketing and lifestyle operations, is saying, I've never really looked on Restoration Hardware.
Good for her.
She's
not going to be disappointed.
That already tells you she's in her late 20s. That already tells you, okay?
Yeah.
Like, they're not even on the radar. Do you follow me?
Well.
They're not even on the radar. Like, that's an interesting, I think that there's...
So that's what I said. So she's not going to be disappointed to find out that what she was looking at is
not
what she thought.
She's not going to care.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but play this out. Okay, play this out a little bit, everybody. For those of you who are, you know, design enthusiasts and in the business, that was a cathedral. That was a cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, still was. I mean, especially when they went to the restaurant and they're like, sit in our great furniture, sit in our this, sit in our that, right? Like,
yeah, how'd that
experience
work out for
our furniture in a restaurant setting. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they built that boutique hotel. And I think
it, oh my gosh, there's rumors a hotel of it?
That the owner's using it as a glorified, you know, residence. But
oh my gosh.
I don't know. It's just, to me, it seems to be like the 100% the trajectory of like a bankrupted business plan.
Right.
right? Well, which is let's degrade the quality of the product that we produce for higher margins to blow this brand up into something that like
that it's not.
That it's not.
Right.
You know?
And that might you might ride that high for a little bit, but once people figure out, which doesn't take that long, then you crash and burn.
Yeah, you say
and
that.
You, don't
you
come
say
back
that. However,
that.
You say that. But however, their run's been 25 years.
But
right, their run as a significant voice in interior design has been 25 years. Right.
Okay, but how long have they taken? How long ago did they go this route where they took the fork in the road?
Oh, you're right. A couple years.
Okay.
Maybe more like five.
So it's only going to take you 2 or 3 years to tank a 25-year legacy?
I guess.
Come on.
I mean, I guess it just seems to be that we're going to have to watch that situation because I'm going to tell you, the next person I'm going to mention as like who you should be going to for Christmas decorating is the exact opposite of that.
Okay.
The exact opposite.
Is it our friend?
It's our friend.
Is it really?
Who do you think our friend is?
Are you going to say something nice about this guy?
No.
I don't know.
We're going to get to Joshua Becker.
Okay.
Don't worry. We're going to get there.
I don't even remember the guy's name because I've been programmed not to pay any attention to it.
Let's actually go to a real designer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's not go to a corporation for this inspiration. Let's go to Ralph Lauren.
Oh, okay.
Ralph Lauren like right Ralph now Lauren. And Heritage Christmas, mm-hmm. right? Their entire portfolio of Christmas vibes is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, nobody knows legacy. Nobody knows legacy. Nobody knows tradition more than Ralph Lauren. And what I love and have always loved about that brand is that they don't just pigeonhole it into traditional. You know, they have, you know, your city vibe. They mm-hmm. have your urban vibe. They have your town and country vibe. They have your coastal vibe. And I really feel like when you pair that look with companies like Balsam Hill that I love.
Oh, yeah.
Frontgate as well. And some of these other, you know, brands, right? Williams Sonoma even. When you begin to sort of pair that look, I can't think of a better inspirational guide for you this holiday season than Ralph Lauren's. Vibes that he's giving right now in what they're calling Heritage Classic, right? Like there is something that came up, and I think I mentioned this on last week's show, as it relates to the trend in interior design, or I'm not going to call it a trend. It's almost like a rediscovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how it's interesting how when you talk about trends, kind of every trend is kind of like a rediscovery.
True.
You know, it's like, oh, leopard print is a trend. Okay, well, leopard print's been around forever, right? So it's like, it's not really a trend. It's just what's hot right now, or people are rediscovering that. So I think that's an important distinction I need people to make between the difference between innovation mm-hmm. and innovation, which mm-hmm. is like a technological advancement of some sort. It could be the technology in outdoor fabric. It could be something along those lines. And then true like trends. That's why I really want you to be cautious about trends, especially around the holiday season. Because in this moment, what I love that you said about multiple Christmas trees mm-hmm. is I love the fact that you can do different schemes and different interpretations of Christmas.
I have to.
On different levels of your home.
I have to.
And I love that. Which is why the first thing that I want to mention on today's show is we do not need to pick a lane on Christmas.
Right. Different areas,
you don't have to do that. You don't have to pick a lane. You can be and you can express the joy in this season however you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important for people to understand that they don't have to pick a style. That it doesn't have to be style specific, which means there is room this holiday season for Joshua Becker, his one candle, okay? And his sprig of his
rosemary.
Mistletoe.
Of rosemary.
You know what I mean? Like this is how I envision Joshua Becker's Christmas. It's like a candle, right? With like just a wreath in the middle of a white oak floor with like really light furniture. Everyone's in a t-shirt. Okay. Just a white tee, white plain tee, like the whole family. All barefoot. Okay.
All barefoot.
There's no shoes, right? Because it's in California.
I always picture
it. I envision
him
it as like Christmas in California.
Yeah.
It's right. Like very understated.
Yeah.
The minimal Christmas. It should just be about being together. It should. But I'm going to tell you this. Decorations help. Okay.
Yeah.
Decorations help put
the
you
vibe.
In the mood, which is why minimalistic Christmas doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
So I'm just saying you can have curated, and we'll get into that. But if you really want to get inspired, especially recently, go to Ralph Lauren's pages and just start.
I was just kind
absorbing.
Of scrolling, and you know what draws me, and I'm just weird like this. I love the different plaids, mm-hmm. right? And I get that from my mom, I think, because there's my maiden name is McEwen, and okay. it's Scottish, and so there's, you know, there's the McEwen plaid, and my husband's a Douglas, and so there's, you know, they have a plaid, like, you know, and so it's been fun to do the research and things like that. And the very first thing I saw on the Ralph Lauren was the different plaids they have with the Christmas stuff, but it's not red and green always.
No.
You know, there's a beautiful blue and evergreen plaid that they have with the Christmas stuff and stuff too. So that I just saw it.
Well, and I want you guys, speaking of plaids, let's talk about this, because I want you guys to all understand a company called Mulberry Home.
Mm-hmm.
Mulberry Home has one of the best collections of wool plaids I've ever seen.
Ooh.
And when I talk about what's in those plaids, it's the combination of the colors beyond the traditional, and some of the color combinations that are a little less obvious that mm-hmm. I think makes it so special and
right.
so interesting.
Right.
Like, you know, softer purple violet with a little bit of like lime green or chartreuse mm-hmm. on a gray background with a little thread of black or brown. There are so many great ways to sort of express what I think the plaid as a pattern means, which
right.
to me, it just means consistency and tradition.
It does. Yeah. Cozy to me.
You know, I love cozy is another one.
Yeah.
But it definitely has a vibe of consistency and longevity. Mm-hmm. It's
almost for sure.
Like plaids are never going to go out of style. The difference is when people think plaid, sometimes they think about, you know, they have a very limited understanding of what that means. Mm-hmm. And you can have plaids that have a lot of different types of intensities. So Mulberry Home is definitely a vendor I'd like you to look up, along with Ralph Lauren, right, who's got mm-hmm. some great plaids as well.
Yeah,
some
beautiful.
Of the UK vendors do a really nice job.
That's lots of them.
Clark
do a
and
really
Clark
nice
is another
yeah.
one
yeah.
that's kind of out there that does some plaids. Now, some of the UK stuff gets a little nuts. They tend to take traditional, and they just like it's like if traditional went to a rave. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, it's literally like they'll go plaids that are in neon.
But that's all they wear
that are
in the
like
UK.
Bright orange.
That's the thing.
No, but I think it's cool.
Plaid
I mean, I think
is a thing
there. I actually, it's inspired, but it's edgy.
Yeah.
So edgy
okay.
traditional. So the new term that's come out, and especially recently as we talk about, you know, the state of the luxury home business and what's going to be popular, I still believe that the ultimate luxury will still be the ability to hide and disappear.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe
I do.
That that'll be the case.
Yeah.
For you to just be like, to unplug from the world.
I try to do that every weekend.
I think
it never works out.
I think it's fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
I definitely think that that's going to be a thing. But I also understand that this sort of like new traditional, I call it neo-nostalgic, new traditional is definitely something that you're going to see pushed to the forefront. Yes. You in the front, in the black hoodie.
Isn't that Joshua Becker's dream, though, to have like nothing, no sound, no phone, no electricity, just your bare feet in a room on a rug with a candle? And now you
know.
Just described him as the ultimate luxury.
I think you can, maybe. But what I don't like is stuff is still cool. Like, stuff is still interesting.
It is. That's
art
true.
Is still interesting. Like, you know, not everything can be, you know, in this space of like, I need less. Like, I need less things in my life.
That's just not what we're talking about.
I don't know. It sounds lazy to
when
me.
When we
it
say,
just sounds,
right.
It just sounds.
Yeah.
A,
it's not
sorry,
what we're
Joshua
talking
Becker.
About
It just
when
sounds
we say
like
luxury.
Minimalism sounds really lazy. It just seems just lazy. I don't know. I mean, I get it. But like, why can't I have both? Why can't I have cool stuff that inspires and the quality?
And quiet.
It's like, well, because you have to care for it. Yeah, well, cool things need care.
But,
okay?
Yeah.
Cool things need care. Okay? So like, I don't know. But when it specific as it relates to Christmas, I want to go through some of the things that have been identified as sort of like, I think they're very consistent as far as being things that I want you to put on your radar. For style cues, you know that I've mentioned Ralph Lauren. I want to get to the next one. Lighting matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that, have you seen these small little, Visual Comfort has some of these are like these sort of tabletop. They're only like maybe like 8 inches high, and they run on LED batteries, and you just sort of hit them. And
you're seeing
it very popular in restaurants now.
I have two of those.
Where they can't run power.
Right. I have two of those, actually. Yeah.
And they have a nice warm light to
them.
One
of them is in the bathroom.
I will tell you that as a holiday decoration to illuminate certain areas of your home to give it a little bit more of that like ambient light vibe, you know, beyond the obvious suggestion of candles and candles with batteries, right? Which is also one of the things that I'm highlighting in what I'm going to call the soft glow of the holiday. If you're not adding to your lighting packages this holiday season with additional lighting elements that are temporary, beyond the Christmas lights, beyond the Christmas garland, but with some of these like table lamps, table lighting, lamp lighting during the holiday season, especially as it gets darker here in the Midwest, is a beautiful overall look. And we don't need the lamps as much in the summer, but the lamp lighting and the ambient lighting to be able to come up with multiple lighting schemes is the very definition of cozy in something you can feel.
And it helps. It helps with daylight savings time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about that. You are not talking right there about holiday lighting. You're talking about seasonal lighting. Yeah. And you're right, because that goes beyond Christmas and New Year's. You need to have that kind of thing to make yourself feel warmer in the winter. It's about that ambiance outside of the holidays as well. Mm-hmm.
And start to go. And listen, if you do any kind of search online, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're on Amazon, if you're on Wayfair, if you're wherever you're looking for, you know, to put your holiday look together. I will have to tell you that between a style cue where it's okay to have multiple styles of Christmas expressed within your home, and then the beautiful opportunities and the amazing opportunities that sort of like incandescent, soft glow lighting can give you, that is an amazing start. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about even more layers to this holiday decorating discussion. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking about a lot of things today, but Christmas decorating is definitely top of mind for, I think, everybody right now.
I like to talk about Christmas decorating with you because you don't have rules.
I have no rules.
And so it's...
Although I do have some things right now, so just so everyone's aware, you know, my wife and I, Julie, who, by the way, can I just plug?
Of course.
Shameless plug for me.
Hello. Oh, for you?
This week? Yeah.
I thought it was going to be for Julie.
It was for Julie this week. I cooked her dinner three nights this week.
Nice.
Now, it's important for everyone to understand that that's not like, it's well overdue, okay? Because she has cooked for me for 25 plus years. Like, not only like, well, she cooks. She's a great cook.
She cooks.
Like,
yeah, right.
She
right,
cooks. Right. And almost to the point where even her best recipes, she forgets about. Like, I'll love something. And then like a year and a half later, I'll be like, wow.
How come we can't
Can
have
we just
that?
Make sure we bookmark this?
Yeah.
Because like, I really love this. But she likes to keep it. She likes to keep it fresh. And she's very, 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 very good. But I've not been great there. Like, I do the cleaning. So I know my role. And I do contribute to be the experience of the meal from that perspective. But this was an opportunity for me to sort of do that for her.
What did you cook?
Well, we did this thing called HelloFresh.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Where, listen, it's paint by number for people who don't cook.
It's total, and it's delicious.
And for me, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Because then I can take some liberties within the recipe to, like, you know, spice it up a little bit if I want to. Mm-hmm. But it kind of takes the thinking out of it for me. And I have found that it's been awesome. And right now, like, I'm on a roll.
Good.
I'm on a roll. I got to keep this going.
Well, I have that when I had a kitchen.
I didn't realize the lift.
Yeah.
That it gave people.
Yeah.
When you can, like, I know it from making cocktails.
Yeah.
This was on a whole different level this week.
It's perfect. And it's the perfect portions. It's pretty. You can make it look exactly like the picture. It is not tough to do.
No.
But you learn a lot. You learn a lot about making sauces and different things, and then you don't have to just do that for the HelloFresh
meals.
And
it's so funny. Julie did such a great thing for me. What she did is she's like, okay, if you're going to start this endeavor of making dinner for us, she took it easy on me. She started with like prosciutto sandwiches.
Right, yeah.
You know, she did. She started easy. Like, I'm like, and now I'm like, I feel like I'm advanced.
And none of it's hard.
Now I'm like, oh, please. We made this one thing that was like this, I don't know, it was almost like this chicken Alfredo thing. That was in this cheese sauce, It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We had it this week.
Yeah.
So anyway, HelloFresh.
I'm proud of you.
Holiday season, make somebody happy.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Yes.
All right, back to holiday decorating.
Yes.
All right. So since we've covered style designation in Ralph Lauren and the fact that there are no rules the fact that you need warm lights and warm glow.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about jewel tones for a moment. Mm. Okay. Let's talk about jewel tones because, you know, there are definitely Christmas colors.
Right.
That are obviously associated with the season that everybody knows about and everyone's got their derivative. But now if you go on to any, you know, let's just take Frontgate, for instance. They've got coastal Christmas. They've got mountain Christmas. They've got Midwest, like traditional Christmas, like however you want to define that. I'm finding you are a fan of multiple styles in each home.
Yes.
Within the home.
Yes.
I am a fan of multiple eras.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love multiple eras. I'm a fan of Christmas with a generational play.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. I have not started that journey, but I think I might starting next year. I'm not going to be able to get it in this year, but I'll get it in next year. Where did you have one of those trees that was like tinsel?
The actual tree is the metal, tinsel?
It was tinsel.
No, my mom never
with the
allowed
icicle
that.
Lights.
She also never allowed the string garland, you know, the string tinsel where it's like 12 inches long and this little piece of, and it, because it clogged up the vacuum cleaner, and she would have none of that.
Okay.
So, and I feel the same way. Plus I have animals.
Okay.
And so I'm afraid of that, but I've gotten rid of all of the tinsel this year. I haven't used any tinsel.
Well, here's where I want to talk about the jewel tones.
Yeah.
I am finding, a lot of the deeper jewel tone blues, this is called sapphire,
mm-hmm.
deeper emeralds,
mm-hmm.
Mixed with a little bit of brown.
Oh.
Have you seen that? Like,
yeah.
So it's like dark green, dark brown, dark blue in a jewel tone. And
that's
then you can mix in there like a garnet, like a really deep, deep red into that.
Uh-huh.
You mix that with gold and all of a sudden you've got a completely new different take on Christmas.
That's the tree that I should put in the study.
Don't rule out jewel tones. And you can move on from the traditional Christmas colors and try something different this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, color scheme matters. And the places that want to sell you these Christmas decorations do a very good job of kind of packaging it for you. To try something new, start small. Start small. I will also don't rule out tabletop. Everybody forgets about tabletop. You know, we go to tree, we go to mantle, right? You got to go to tabletop. You got to make sure that you're thinking about, and right now we've got our team celebrating or putting Christmas together they're celebrating and they're putting it together. We've got Megan out in the field working on this holiday decorating for this one house, and it's tricked. It's tricked.
Uh-huh.
Right? Trees on every level, and the garland is amazing.
Uh-huh.
Going up a grand staircase.
Oh, nice.
I don't care how big your staircase is, or even if you live in a ranch, okay? That's where tabletop will even matter more.
Right.
But I'm just letting you know, find a way to adorn the staircase. I will tell you, I don't have a big staircase in my house. It's sort of like a split level, kind of goes up and goes down. But it is one of the things that I love most about Christmas is the ability to see a staircase well adorned for the holiday season. And think about making sure that you're looking at the less obvious areas for decoration this holiday season. How big is your staircase in this new house you got?
It's this big.
Right. Look at that.
It's already done. Look
with
at
another
it.
Mint tree.
Uh-huh.
You got another mint tree.
I did. Yeah. So that stocking is my husband's. He's the oldest of four. And that was, it's a huge stocking. Like the stocking
the
is the size
stocking.
Of the tree. So I hung it there, for now. So,
oh my gosh.
But my
it looks like a baby Bjorn. That's how big it is.
I know. I think he fit into it.
Everyone a really good idea. The baby Bjorn in the shape of a stocking.
Stocking.
Why is that not sold right now?
I bet I don't
it's
know.
Out there already.
That's $1 million idea.
I bet it's out there already.
But my staircase goes up and then there's a landing and then it goes up a few more stairs and then there's a landing and then it goes up again. So, so I did the... I did the garland already and the little tree on the table right there at the... So that's the entrance. So like back here is the front door.
All right.
Like
well,
that's right inside the front door.
All right. Well, let's talk about this next thing I got on the list, right? So we've covered warm glow lighting,
mm-hmm.
right? We've covered the possibility of maybe thinking of a color scheme that maybe is less obvious. I mentioned the jewel tone,
mm-hmm.
right? One that's not such a traditional Christmas of the, you know, the bright red, the bright green.
Can I just say though that that's interesting that you say that because I feel like it is. Is that just me? The jewel tones, like the deep, rich. Because remember right off the bat I mentioned when I looked at Ralph Lauren's, that plaid that was the emerald green and the dark blue and it had just a little bit of red in
gorgeous.
It or whatever.
It's just
that's
gorgeous.
Like, to me, that's instinctively, I do feel like it is.
I guess I understand, and listen, remember when I said there's no rules? I want to make sure that I'm allowing enough space in this style discussion to allow people to sort of, you know, personalize Christmas.
True.
To however they feel it should be expressed, Joshua Becker. But I feel like the one that I'm trying to get over the hump on just a little bit is sort of next on the list.
Okay.
So I do like, and this is just my personal preference as a designer, I tend to like my saturated Christmas. So I like deeply saturated colors at Christmas. That's just like the way that I'm wired. The next one on the list is the natural Christmas. Have you seen that? It's called the natural Christmas.
No.
Like logs.
Oh, that's pretty.
And twigs.
Yeah.
Right? And fresh, you know, sort of like greenery.
Evergreen and stuff.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like this scheme of like white. Right? So where I think Joshua could probably use a little bit of help, okay, in this, is I feel like he probably would be in that vein. Right?
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
You know, if
log cabin-y.
But log cabin-y could also go traditional Christmas because it's got a lot of yellow.
Yeah,
so think mountain.
Don't think
log cabin necessarily. Okay. You went Midwestern vibe.
I did.
Think mountain, right? Think like more stone.
Okay. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
more stone, modeled walls, you know, beams that are naturally just hand-hewn.
Right.
Right, but they're not yellow. They're more gray.
Right.
Okay.
Like
I think that
wood.
There's, yeah, I think that there's a scheme there, and especially with the popularity of mountain modern.
Do we call that winter wonderland?
If you'd like to.
I don't know.
Yeah, like kind of monotone,
it.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like a blanket of texture. I see that actually being wildly effective, but here's the tip I will give you. You can't be a minimalist and pull that off.
True.
It just looks like you left a stick on your dining room table. You got it. But this is how I feel about texture in general.
Well, that's true.
If you're going to have a monochromatic scheme, it better be layered. And I mean pillows, throws, rugs, right? Like lots and lots and lots of layers. Because then the look is the lushness of the texture and the interplay of all of the textures. Where it loses it is where it goes almost too minimal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, oh, that's nice. There's a sprig. On the dining room table. How festive.
We put some mistletoe over there.
Yeah, no, my daughter Zoe would be like, budget cuts. That's the problem with going too minimal sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's understanding of curated is sort of where I want to dive into. Okay. Here's where I think that minimalist or at least more curated look, I think here's where you have to really nail it. Here's where you really have to pay attention. You've got to take your feature spaces, dining tables, okay, and mantles, entries and staircases, and you have to pack them. Like, they really have to be full.
Right.
Okay? Which means I want curated, tight packages of bursts of Christmas, and then you can have quiet.
I love it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, make your dining room table spectacular, right? Give it the height that it might normally have. Give it the breadth that it might normally have. Like, really think about the spaces where you gather and the ones that have the highest, well, let's just say the most visual currency. Mantles are one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As are big spaces of, like, you know how everyone puts the tree in the corner? Try something different. Try putting it in the middle of that wall, okay? I'm not saying put it in the middle of the room, okay? I'm just saying try to find a place where it's not hidden.
Right.
You know? I do believe that if you curate this correctly and with an artist's eye, what you're going to find is you're going to find that a lot of people will take their Christmas decorations and spray and pray. In other words, they will try to maximize what they have in throughout the entire home,
sure.
And then it just ends up looking thin. Now, that's true for a lot of decorating and a lot of decorating styles and a lot of decorative guidance that I would give you is try not to do that. Try to not maximize the decorative theme where it almost looks like it's starting to whisper Christmas.
Sure.
In a corner.
Right.
Like, you know, that's not really, you know, the one thing in the one corner might not cut it. I would say try to really make it more impactful and then just go purchase more ornaments or go purchase more stuff. Okay.
You're going to be so proud of me when you see the pictures of my
Well, listen, I know you stuff. You take Christmas as seriously as we take summer here in the Geneva Lakes area. It's a sport for you.
It is a sport for me.
It's 100% a sport.
It's for you. And this has literally been going to and getting all this old stuff out that I've not had room for a very long time has been like Christmas.
No,
right?
Listen, here's the other thing that I'm saying. If you are on a budget and you're not quite sure, let's just say you're really into sustainability. Mm-hmm. You know, you're into like not buying a lot of fake plastic stuff. I will tell you that nature does give you an opportunity to buy birch logs that you can cut up, mm-hmm. that you can tie together with twine, and you can sort of make a, you know, sort of like an organic, sort of contemporary looking, right, centerpiece out of natural material. There's never been more knowledge out there on how to do that.
Right.
Okay. But when we come back from the break, we're going to wrap this all up in a nice big Christmas bow. We're going to talk about the finale of what I think are the must-haves this holiday season when layering the over, when layering overall an amazing holiday look. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. If you've missed all or part of the show, you can always check it out at lake961.com and Spotify. Sorry. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach. On Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Cezanne.
If you have to leave the studio during commercial break, you have to run, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So good job. I'm glad you sat down.
I appreciate that.
I went 3-2-1, and he's in his seat. So that was great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Segment four.
I'm sorry. And I have to start with a question.
Okay. Yes.
And I don't want you to hate me for asking the question.
Okay.
How do you feel about white Christmas trees?
I don't know what you mean by that. Can you dive in? Like just the color, like a white tree?
Yeah. You've never seen these?
Okay. Is it pearlescent? Is it like glittery?
It can be. I mean, it's just basically the tree itself is white.
I mean, I want to be consistent here on today's show.
Because
so.
They have a lot of different colors.
Yeah. You know what? I'm fine with all of it.
Let me see what you've showed him.
I think it's all of it.
Yeah. And I don't mean white decor. I mean, the tree itself is white. And then a lot of people have like pink lights or purple lights
whatever.
Or, you know, red and green, like whatever. But
whatever.
The tree itself is white.
No rules.
My mom.
Christmas is no rules, but you have to try.
My mom.
You know the
had,
only wrong decorating move for Christmas?
What?
To not decorate.
My mom had one year a white Christmas tree and it was in our living room. And she was, you know, remember, this is the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And she was a mauve and light blue fan at the time. Right. So she had it all decorated. I mean, it was really pretty. She loved it and everything. My dad hated it. That is not a Christmas tree. Christmas trees are green.
Wow.
We need to be more traditional. Because, of course, she had it parked in front of this huge bay window that we had at our house and everything.
Yeah.
And so my dad would probably just hate a lot of the styles today because he was such a traditionalist. But my mom always tried so hard to think outside the box on some of this stuff, like you say to do. But then...
Newsflash, that's kind of why... Men have women, okay?
This is true.
There are some of us that would be so rigid in our thinking, okay?
Yeah.
That it helps stretch the thinking and vice versa.
Yeah, she
so
didn't
the yin and the yang thing is a really,
much.
That's a thing,
yeah.
Okay? Opposites attract is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the minute we stop understanding that the divergent perspective is not a bad perspective.
Right.
But just another perspective. And that's why on this show, when I'm advocating putting trees on multiple levels, you know, I would have just said to your dad, great, your tree's over there. Go sit in that room.
I know. Well, and that's the thing is
that's
we had
another.
That's what
I would have said. I'd been like, great, go in there. That's my tree. That's your tree.
Because that was her fancy tree. We weren't allowed to touch anything on that tree. But then the other tree in the family room, because we had a living room
and
family
room. I have a tree where...
That one was traditional.
Yeah, I have a tree. I have a tree
stuff.
Where ornaments get demoted.
Oh,
so the downstairs tree is sort of where some of the ornaments that are nostalgic to us, but they're not the greatest ornaments.
Right.
They go on the downstairs tree. Like Aww. Julie will openly say to me, that's going to the downstairs tree.
That's downstairs.
And I'm like, but there goes to the downstairs
it's,
tree.
Yeah.
No. Right. Or I'll have things that the kids have made where I think it's ready for the downstairs tree. And she's like, no.
Absolutely not.
That one stays up here.
DNQ does not qualify.
Yeah, like, no. She's like, this stays up here. Right? Yeah.
Well.
So, I don't know. I mean, as we head into this final segment talking about Christmas decorating and, you know, on the whether the tree is white or whether it's green or blue or purple.
They have like pink tinsel trees now, turquoise.
I mean, I think what I love most about this time of year is it's actually a celebration of all of the things that I think really matter.
Everything.
Which is tradition.
Yeah.
Permanence. Right? Consistency, love, joy, happiness, peace. I mean, if you can't find something in Christmas, religious or secular, to get behind, you got problems. You got problems. Mm-hmm. Because it's funny how all of the other religions that don't celebrate Christmas have something similar, a similar end of year celebration that they all sort of buy into to kind of end cap the year.
Right.
So find your celebratory plug-in. And decorate accordingly is really the message of this show. Is it, if it's Christmas or something else, just celebrate something. Don't celebrate nothing.
Right.
Life's too short.
Right.
Okay? That's why decoration matters. That's why design matters. What you surround yourself with, what you absorb, and the experiences and the quality that you either allow into your life or deny yourself matter. They matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting how when we talk about this decoration, you know, cozy, right? You know, like who doesn't want a room that's comfortable and cozy? And I don't care if it's coastal or if it's in North Dakota. Okay. Like cozy is sort of like one of those, like cozy and inviting are sort of like mainstays.
Sure.
So those aren't words that when I ask clients to describe the room that they envision in their mind, those aren't style cues, guys. Cozy is not a style cue. Comfortable is not a style cue. You're using those incorrectly when you're trying to describe your space. Those should be givens. You know what else should be a given? That it's personal. That it reflects you. That it's
your
great
room.
The
your
question
house.
is the strength of the editing and the dedication to quality really matters. You've heard me say on any number of different episodes over these years, Nancy, you've heard me say that max decoration doesn't ever make up for bad design. So bad function, bad flow, bad layout, furniture that's too big, furniture that's too small. No amount of decoration is going to make up for that.
Not going to cover it up.
And so what I don't want this holiday season, and this is where this last segment's going, I don't want the holidays to be a mask. Don't make them a decorative mask like they are for so many of you. You cover up every design flaw that you've been ignoring throughout the year, and you make it a mask. You load it up with all the Christmas decorations, and for 6 weeks, it helps you forget about the flaws. Okay? Because all that's going to happen is the inevitable January crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to feel worse because especially here in the Midwest, when you do that and you take everything down, you're like, oh, good Lord.
Now everything goes back to brown and gray.
Well, it just goes back to it, and then it looks even worse to you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what I'm trying to express to everyone is it might be a little late in the year for you to go and completely revamp your spaces at this juncture. You
know. Certainly before the holidays.
Certainly before the holidays. And I'm not a big fan of smash and grab furniture unless it's for a dorm room. Okay.
And even then you're not really.
Right. I'm just saying I'm just not a fan. I think quality matters on almost all levels. But I will say that I want you to take a look at your interior and really, really critically think about the gathering spaces and the function and the flow. Because if your holiday decorating has become a mask, like a cosmetic mask, for just your really, really inattention, right, and lack of stewardship of your design, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to have a whole nother show in January about that. You know that show's coming. It's the annual when you take the decorations down. It's called the Now What Show.
Crap.
Right? Where you're like, oh man, now what? You know, Thanksgiving, or not Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day is not going to be enough.
All right.
Okay.
Valentine's Day is, and
Easter's not going to be enough to get you through. Like, but that's what people do. And I want to caution that putting the quality back in the holiday experience with the decorations that you purchase, or even the way that you approach it, doesn't always need to be done with decoration.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done experientially. And you and I have talked about this. You know, the amount of attention and care that you put into the experiences that you're trying to create on a daily basis and when you gather. So many people just wing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just winging it. It's become, unfortunately, family has become, for too many people, obligatory. You know, the concept of family is they just sort of speak at it. It should, it's almost like family should be with a lowercase f in a lot of instances, instead of really making it something where you're trying to share in the some sort of shared lineages, mm-hmm. lineage of exactly what's formulated you.
Right.
You know, I think we're all too busy trying to be reinvented on a regular basis. You know, we don't do the work. You know, we barely do the work on ourselves, much less the work with someone else. And the holiday season, if you really want the holidays to feel different this year, the decoration is going to help. It can certainly inspire, but it's not going to replace actually doing the work. Okay. And I want to talk about that a little bit. Accessibility to fun and accessibility to memories is sometimes the greatest decoration and function you can put in a space. I'm talking about games. I'm talking about nostalgic trivia that relates to your family. I'm talking family photos. I have a love-hate relationship with albums.
Yeah.
Family albums. Julie loves them because it's a capture for her. And I have, over the years, really valued that capture. I mean, she, when there's a kid's birthday, she will take all of the photos out of these albums and mm-hmm. she will decorate the entire table upon them waking up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know at first the kids were like, what is going on? I know they love it.
Right.
They do. And so does she.
They'll do it for their kids too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just inherent in who she is. And listen, I was not a big picture taking family. So like I had to kind of come around to that. I mean, I will admit that.
Mm-hmm.
I have come around big time on it to the point where now, like, I now encourage in my home and my clients' homes something called a legacy wall, which is the photos of your family from the very beginning, going as far back as you can to then current day.
Mm-hmm.
And those legacy walls, I have found that for many of my clients are this really tangible way to appreciate and understand just how far they've come as family.
Right.
And I think that there's something there. And so when we don't put those on display this holiday season and we don't trigger those memories, right? And listen, everybody has memories that are horrible, right? Everybody's had memories that they don't really, there are years you'd hope you'd forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There just are. And then there's years when it was like, wow, that was really special. Life has all of that duality, okay? But it's what you choose to focus on that matters. And what I hope people take away from a holiday show like this on decoration isn't that it's just about your color scheme, or it's just about, you know, the fact that there's no rules, or the fact that it's just really fun to do. It's also really fun to remember, especially the good stuff. You got to find a way this holiday season to hold on to the good stuff, because we tend to hold on to the wrong stuff. You know, we tend to let the negative memories, we tend to let the negative interactions, we tend to let the negative really dominate.
It's hard.
It's really. Yeah. And it's a weight. And sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. And so there is something this holiday season as it relates to decorating that I want to leave you with. Use the holiday decorating process as a way to celebrate the great memories through design. And shed the weight, okay? I know that will be very difficult to do with the food, okay? Shedding the weight's going to be a hard thing to do.
Are you calling
me fat? But
you
can at least shed the emotional baggage.
For sure.
Okay?
Yes.
And you can remember the true holiday spirit is about togetherness. And if you're using decoration to celebrate it, I think that that's the whole point. Anyway, thank you for joining us on this Sunday. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.